morning, Your Honors. The broadly defined crime, pardon me, of escape from an institution under 18 United States Code 751 is not an offense that by its nature presents a serious risk of injury to others. In this case, District Court Judge Zagel erred by concluding that Emmanuel Hart's prior conviction for escape was a crime of violence for the purposes of the career offender provision of the sentencing guidelines. Mr. Hart asked this court to vacate the judgment below and remand to the district court for resentencing. I know that each of Your Honors on the panel this morning have had an opinion to consider this issue, and of course this court has written on the question whether an escape is, by its nature, a crime of violence on various occasions. In Mr. Hart's case, it is undisputed below by the government that his escape was primarily a product of his schizophrenia. While serving out the remainder of his sentence at the Salvation Army, Mr. Hart believed that he was that he was in danger from gang members in the area.
What kind of treatment had your client received during his earlier incarceration?
Your Honor, he had received medication on occasion during his prior incarceration, and during a much previous incarceration, he had received some therapy treatment, but largely it was medication only.
Had he received that medication regularly?
No, he had not. And I will admit, because it's clear on the record, that that was in part because he would resist medication while he was in custody. While he was out of custody and while he was living at the Salvation but at various nursing homes in the Chicago area, he received not only medication, but therapy, group counseling, and vocational therapies that were helpful to him.
I see. Thank you.
Who sponsored that?
Your Honor, it was a combination of efforts between the probation office and Mr. Hart's physician.
Okay, so he's on probation during that time?
He was serving out the remainder of his supervised release. That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Hart was arrested, as it's clear from the record, while he was sleeping on a park bench, and it's relevant in this case to look back at the lack of violence during either the actual act of escape or in the apprehension, because, as Your Honor, Judge Posner wrote in the Chamber's opinion, it is pure speculation to say that escape, the crime of escape, is by its nature an offense which presents a risk of injuries to others. And in this case, the difference was the difference between a 77 to 96 month range and the 156 months that was imposed as the sanction for Mr. Hart as a career offender. The question that was left open in the Chamber's opinion was that there were no intervening events which would justify this court overruling the prior decision in Bryan. And on Mr. Hart's behalf, I submit that the Supreme Court's recent decision in James versus United States provides a sufficiently new argument, sufficiently detailed analysis that warrants overruling the prior decision. This is set forward in more detail in the brief, but in essence, the James decision asks the district courts and the courts of appeals to begin by examining the breadth of the statute that in question. 18 United States Code 751 states solely, whoever escapes or attempts to escape from any institution or facility from which he is confined violates the statute. Obviously, the definition of escape is quite broad, and there is no requirement that it be a secure facility, that the offender use any type of violence or force in executing that escape. Like the attempted burglary statute that was in question in the James case, there is such a breadth of conduct that is covered by the statute that to apply the categorical approach to determining whether this offense is a crime of violence brings vastly more conduct under the purview of the career offender provision than was intended by the sentencing guidelines. The Sentencing Commission was clear that the career offender provision was intended to apply only to a particularly violent and dangerous class of offenders. And by categorizing offenses such as escape that broadly define conduct as crimes of violence, it brings offenders such as Mr. Hart into the category of career offender where they don't belong. And in a, almost doubles or more than doubles the potential sentence.
I don't understand the bearing of James. I don't follow you. So it just said attempted burglary was a crime of violence, right? So
it, Your Honor, it said in that case that the Florida statute defining attempted burglary was a crime of violence. And as I've discussed in the brief, the arguments and the structure of the Supreme Court's opinion is the new argument that this Court could rely upon in overruling Bryant. Clearly, James builds on the Supreme Court's prior cases in Shepard and Taylor, but the structure of the James opinion clearly asks the courts, the lower courts, the district courts, to look at the breadth of the statute and then, without hypothesizing, speculating, if you will, to look at whether in the ordinary case the offense below, the crime committed, is of the kind or of a nature that presents a serious risk of other injury to others. Your Honor, in the case of escape, the prior cases that have held that escape is categorically a crime of violence have relied on what this Court has referred to as the powder keg theory. That is that the nature of the crime of escape is a highly charged event for which the response will be equally highly charged and some violence will result. But I submit, Your Honor, that that is just pure speculation and that in the ordinary case...
You wanted us to divide the escapes between the violent escapes and the runaways and the walkaways. And what does James have to do with that?
James is certainly not directly on point in terms of the escape question. The question is the analysis put forward by the Supreme Court in determining what type of offenses are suitable for the categorical approach to determining a crime of violence and in what cases it's appropriate for the district courts to look beyond.
James, does it ask the district court to look beyond?
Your Honor, when the court discusses the other option, if you will, if this were not a case in which the usual case would involve the use of violence or the potential for injury to others, then the court would be permitted to look beyond the mere offense, the charged offense, and look to the jury instructions, the plea colloquy, or even just simply the charging document. And that, of course, the court is referring to its prior decisions in Taylor and Shepard. Judge, Your Honors, to be clear, Mr. Hart is not arguing.
So what are you suggesting, that we should say that walkaway escapes are not crimes of violence?
No, Your Honor. What I'm suggesting this court hold is that all escapes are not categorically crimes of violence, and that the district courts, when confronted with an individual who has an escape as a prior conviction, and the district court consider...
Well, it would be much simpler if you just say the walkaway. There's no reason to think walkaway escapes have a violent potential.
I agree, Your Honor, and the reason that I didn't give you that answer directly is because there's no such thing as a statute criminalizing walkaway escapes. All walkaway escapes or violent escapes are...
I mean, I don't understand. Why not just divide the statute has grouped together what may be very dissimilar offenses, and it's always clear from the information or the indictment which it is. Why not just say, the escaping from a locked facility is one thing, but simply in Chambers it wasn't showing up. Here it's walking away from the Salvation Army. It doesn't seem like the same sort of thing.
Precisely, Your Honor. And
also, I don't understand the reference to a Salvation Army halfway house.
It's a community.
You don't have halfway houses.
It's a community.
Isn't this a Salvation Army rehabilitation center?
It is. The Bureau of Prisons and the courts refer to them as the halfway house. It is the community correction.
It's not, because in a as I understand, we had a case recently, in a rehabilitation center, you have a whole bunch of people who are in need of rehabilitation. They're not all criminals. They're, drunkards and this and that and the other thing. So I don't understand even why it's... I mean, the correctional authorities might decide this is a good place to put this person instead of probation or instead of jail. But I don't see how that turns the rehabilitation center into a halfway house. It seems a step below in terms of, you know, restraint, restrictions.
I would agree with Your Honor. My response very briefly, because I know I'm out of time, is that the Bureau of Prisons has a contract with the Salvation Army Rehabilitation Facility to act as a transitional facility.
And that's actually a place they go to fill out their sentence.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. And who's next? Mr. Boutros?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Andrew Boutros on behalf of the United States. The law of this circuit is quite clear.
It's becoming pretty preposterous, though, isn't it?
What is, Your Honor?
Walk away from a Salvation Army Rehabilitation Center, and that's a violent felony?
Your Honor, in Bryant, this Court held that a walkway...
Yeah, but I mean, when is some realism going to descend into this discussion of sentencing? What's the purpose of treating someone like this as a violent felon? Got tired of the rehabilitation center, maybe... The religious atmosphere disturbed him, something of that sort. So he walks away, goes to sleep on a bench. What does this have to do with violence?
Your Honor, the defendant here was in federal custody and had not finished the term.
I know that, but I understand why we don't want to look at the facts of these cases, obviously. We want to have categorical judgments. But why isn't a sensible categorical judgment that walk-away offenses are not violent felonies? Because as far as anyone knows, because the people who are put in a position where they can walk away or, in our Chambers case, report, you know, they're on bail or something, report to the prison at some day by yourself, you know, you're not taken into custody, you're supposed to put yourself in custody. What is the reason to think that so you're not in a position to be a walkaway offender if you're violent, because if you were violent you would be under lock and key. So there doesn't seem to be any reason to think that walkaway escapes have any violent potential.
Your Honor, we would submit that they do have a violent potential, and that is why they
are. Do you have a case where you could that you could point to, or something in the FBI files or something?
We certainly can point to, Your Honor, United States as far as case or prior precedent, United States v. Bryant. But
no precedent. I'm asking you a question about facts. Can you point us to cases where walkaway escapees have committed a violent act?
As this Court certainly pointed out in Chambers.
Yeah, this is a question. This is not what we said in Chambers. I'm asking a simple question. Can you point to a case of a violent incident involving one of these walkaway escapees?
I personally, Your Honor, am not aware of any sort of...
So as far as you know, there's never been a case where a walkaway has been violent, but nevertheless... We should treat them as violent felonies.
Your Honor, I certainly don't purport to know the landscape of whether or not all escapes in this jurisdiction.
I don't purport
to know the landscape.
You don't know
anything.
I just asked you for one incident in the history of the United States of a walkaway who committed a violent act.
But I would point out, Your Honor, that
you haven't looked into that. The Justice Department apparently has no interest in what the realities of the conduct of these people is concerned, because you can't give me any incident.
But we would submit, Your Honor, that the burden, given prior precedent, the burden, as this Court points out in Chambers, that because the defendant here is asking for this Court...
Why is it their burden? Why doesn't the Justice Department have much better resources for determining the violent potential of a class of criminals than defense lawyer?
I think you're right that certainly the Justice Department does have more resources, but The reason why the burden is placed on the defendant here is because the defendant is asking for this court to overturn precedent, and he is proposing a change in the law. And that being the case, as this court stated in Chambers, when someone proposes or seeks change, the burden lies with that person to establish that change is warranted or merited. And here, Your Honor, we don't think that any such change is warranted or merited. And in fact, simply point out that this case is even...
Why don't you think any change is warranted?
This, Your Honor, this is a case that's even more egregious than Bryant, where this court...
Egregious? This fellow walking away from the Salvation Army?
Yes, Your Honor, because in Bryant, the defendant had permission to leave and just simply failed to return back on time or failed to return. Here, this is a case where...
I don't see the difference between leaving when you're not supposed to leave and not returning when you're supposed to return.
Here, the defendant just simply walked away.
Well, in Bryant and in Chambers, they simply didn't show up.
That's right, Your Honor.
Excuse. What's the difference between leaving and not showing up?
Well, in one instance, he was already in custody.
I don't understand what earthly difference that could make.
Your Honor, it's just
it's better conduct if you're told, well, you have to report at X hour, and instead you leave the country. That somehow is better than walking away from a Salvation Army rehabilitation center.
Your Honor, it is varying degrees, but we think that they are both wrong. Somehow
you think the former case is wronger, where you don't show up.
No, Your Honor, I was saying that when you just simply abscond and you simply leave the custody of the halfway house
without
permission.
Somehow that's worse than not showing up. I don't understand you. It seems entirely symmetrical.
I want to ask something here. What did he do before as far as the bank robbery? What other crimes of violence was he in?
Your Honor, the defendant here has a long rap right. or yeah. criminal
One of them,
history.
He walked into a bank, said he had a bomb, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
In this case, he walked away and went to sleep on a park bench.
Not exactly, Your Honor. From reading the psychological report that was included as a supplement to the record, he actually, when he walked away, he was out. Or was not apprehended for a period of approximately 1 month or so.
Oh, was it that long?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm only saying his problems were more than just a guy that walked away, I presume. He did what was unquestionably violent felons, violent
That's right.
crimes.
That's right, Your Honor.
And I guess the other thing is if someone walks away and then hides out or does other things... he's doing more than just walking away. I guess I'm trying to look at the parameters of this rather than saying we're going to have to look at case by case. Is he or is he not violent or was he ever violent? As the law stands now, we look at escapes, and this is defined as a crime of violence. That's the law you're arguing, I assume.
That's right, Your Honor. And you touched on an important point, Your Honor, because this is essentially a continuing offense. Because the defendant was an escapee from the moment that he left without permission until the moment that he was apprehended. And for that entire period of time, which in this case was approximately 1 month, he was a fugitive or an escapee.
What does that have to do with violence?
Certainly, Your Honor, we would...
No, the question is not whether to forgive him for his escape. No, that's criminal activity. The question is whether it's violent. Because somehow, if you walk away, you're gonna engage in some violent attack, some sort. What I don't get.
But we just, Your Honor, it's not so much it is violence, but it's the serious potential risk of injury or of harm.
Where is the evidence of a serious potential risk? You cannot point to a single instance in the history of the United States where a walk away. Committed a violent act when he was apprehended right? So what's it's odd to have potential. This walk away escapes are not unusual. It must be extremely common. You'd think that if there was a problem of violence, we would have heard about it, right?
I would just point out to the court that in James, when the court undertook its examination.
That certainly is not responsive, because that's not a case about walkaway escape.
But in James, Your Honor, the court did not turn to statistics in
well,
making its
decision.
Well, you
don't have to with burglary, right? You know burglary is very dangerous, obviously.
But the court is considering the question, for instance, right now, Your Honor, on appeal in the matter of Begay versus United States, which deals with DWIs. And
they're very dangerous. But walkaway escapes, as far as I know, are very undangerous. They're a pain for the authorities, obviously. You've lost track of something. But the point, so he committed a bank, that's a violent crime, but somehow the fact that they let him serve his sentence in a Salvation Army Rehabilitation Center suggests that they didn't really think he was that dangerous. Probably he's just dangerous when he gets near a bank. So, again, there's no reason to think that he would become violent if he left.
Your Honor, I see my time has expired, but maybe if I could just respond. It is also, as counsel pointed out, he was receiving treatment when he was, or at least was receiving medication when he was in the halfway house, and certainly when he left the halfway house, there's no indication that he would be receiving treatment, and as the record shows, in this case, although we are going in the record by discussing this, when he was off of his medications, he was more violent and certainly posed a greater risk and did commit these violent felonies such as this bank robbery. And so I think the risk is heightened here, or perhaps the Bureau of Prisons decided that the risk was more mitigated and that he was eligible for Salvation Army custody because he was being medicated. And now, to be sure, this is speculation because we don't have information from the Bureau of Prisons on its assessment. But that, to me, also seems to perhaps have informed their analysis.
We see you're individualizing this now, and that's the problem.
Right. That's right.
I can say, well, the last time when he robbed the bank, he was probably either under something or other, or off his medicine. And now when you do that, so you go on a case-by-case basis, which is where we are not yet, and maybe the law will change, but that's what you're faced with. You're arguing the law as it is now.
That's right, Your Honor, and I couldn't agree more that what the courts are trying to avoid, and certainly the Supreme Court, through the use of the categorical approach, is the individualized case sort of examination in the fact-bound process. Mm-hmm. The court is desperately trying to avoid that, and that is why it is taking up many of these cases every term to try to provide greater guidance to the lower courts.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Boutros. Ms. Winslow, is her time expired? We'll give a minute. Please give a minute, Ms. Winslow.
The question here is not whether there should be a mini-trial, if you will, on the defendant's background, the facts of the offense, and whether his or her medication was appropriate at the time. The question in this case is whether the district courts can look beyond the charged offense simply to the charging document, jury instructions, or a plea colloquy, a limited inquiry into the type of escape that occurred in a particular case. As Judge Posner brought up, there should be two categories, a violent escape or a breakaway from a secure facility, and a walkaway or a failure to return. And Mr. Hart's position is that his walkaway escape should not be considered categorically a crime of violence, that the district court should have looked beyond the nature of the offense simply to the charging document, unless Your Honors have any further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not, Ms. Winslow?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the